Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Inspired Evolution. I'm your humble host, Amrit Sandhu, and you're tuning in to a conscious conversation designed to help you grow. Our mission here is simple. It's for you to live your purpose, live your best life, live the life you love. This podcast is sponsored by Enthusiasm for Life, by Great Creation itself. To keep the good vibes flowing for myself and yourself, do us a solid, subscribe to the Inspired Evolution podcast on YouTube, the home of the Inspired Evolution podcast. Now sit back, relax, open your mind, open your heart to this conversation and stay inspired. Keep evolving. Welcome to the Inspired Evolution, and it is a super treat to be here today. We have with us Julie Mohan and Tim Vondrisha. I think I've got those names right. Brother, sister, thank you so much for doing this. It is such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. We're so happy to be on. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
The pleasure is mine. For those tuning in, we have with us the masterminds, the co-creators, the co-founders of the Envol app. And this is what you're looking at today. Now, this was all birthed from Julie's own challenges and her healing journey, which she's been very open about. I think it's the best place to start, wouldn't you say? Julie, can you tell us a little bit about, you're quite young, you're 25 or 23, I think it was, and you've landed yourself in a wheelchair, unable to walk. Mm-hmm. Amrit, shut up, stop taking the punchlines, let Julie tell her own story. Please, tell us what's going on here.
Thank you for the introduction. We went through something quite difficult and a whole set of struggles. And so when I was 25 years old, I had just moved to the Netherlands. We met in Spain, and we fell in love in a club. And it was just, I was graduating and I was like, okay, I'm going to find my job, my first job in the Netherlands, which I did. So I was just, you know, a happy young woman, just started working. And then one day I was doing yoga exercise on the floor. And then suddenly my muscles went into paralysis. That was very scary. So I was rushed to the ER and I was unable to walk.
Was there any insight? Did she have any inkling as to what could be going on? Like, you're literally because I think this is something that it kind of is scary to listen to, you know, we're all doing our yoga poses and all of a sudden your legs just, like, you can't feel them anymore.
Yeah. So I had, I was a healthy person. I've been a healthy person all my life, but from the age of 18, I started to have episodes of neurological pain and symptoms that were starting to get scary. But I did a lot of tests and doctors always told me that it was in my head. So when I was 18, for a year and a half, I couldn't walk properly because my feet were burning. The soles of my feet were burning. I had the feeling I was kind of walking on bones, you know? And I mean, I was 18, I was so young, you know? And I was walking in crutches, so it was definitely not normal. And every time I went to doctors, they said, but what are your studies? And I was telling them the studies I was doing, which were quite stressful at the time. And they said, oh, you know what? That's just the studies. That's just stress. So, you know, they gave me Xanax to chill out. And that was the answer. And a year and a half after, my symptoms completely disappeared, I think because I was 19 and I was just like a healthy, you know, young lady. And the body is so young that it's kind of, you know, heals itself.
The bounce back is amazing. Yeah,
exactly. So the symptoms went away. And then a few years later, I think when I was 22 or 23, I had another episode of this, but this time it lasted 24 hours only. And it was a complete paralysis of the leg muscles when I was just doing some exercise.
Yeah.
And again, the doctor said that they didn't know what was wrong with me and that it was probably just in my head. But then, you know, as this, I continued my life and I was just, it was fine. But then it just in the back of my head, I was like, maybe there's something really wrong with me that my health is deteriorating.
Yeah, that must be so disconcerting, you know? Huh? Because especially feeling into like your story, like you were quite health and wellness oriented.
Yeah.
And having these little niggles, like, and it's not a little niggle. It's like, what?
No, it's not something small. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it just continued. And I was, I mean, most of the time I was fine. I didn't have symptoms, but when I was exercising my muscles a lot, I had the fear of having that paralysis come back. But I was trying to, you know, live my life and kind of forget about it and focus on the positive. But then when I was 25, then this happened again. And unfortunately, at that moment, the pain never went away. So it just damaged my mitochondria and my cells in a way that I just could not walk anymore. And so the doctor, after 2 weeks, they sent me back home saying that it was in my head again. So, you know, at this point, it was over a decade, a little bit more than a decade, then I started having the symptoms. And I was like, you know, I'm a very open person. Maybe there is something of a conversion disorder, a kind of trauma that I'm not very aware of that might just translate into this body symptoms. And yeah. I was like, if the answer is to see a psychologist, then I might just do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I spent the next 2 years seeing a shrink.
Sorry, I really want to know more about that. But I do also want to know what's going on in your head at this time, Tim. Sorry, like.
Yeah, it was crazy actually, because I was at the moment in Canada when it happened. I was in Whistler doing a snowboard instructor course.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call from Julie calling me like, I can't move my legs anymore. I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out, and I didn't know what to do. I was there like on the other side of the world, and wow. I was like, yeah, just stay calm. Is your roommate at home? Maybe ask her if she can call somebody or that can come help you. And yeah, it was crazy. I was like, okay, what do I do? And then she went to the hospital. She stayed, Julie stayed there for 2 more weeks. Then I finished up my course there in Canada. I was still there, but it was such a difficult moment. Like, do I go home? But I also wanted to finish. So it was, and then I got back home. Then Julie was back home out of the hospital. Her parents were there as well with her. So she was, not by herself. And yeah, then just the whole process started, like Julie mentioned. Like, then she started to see a shrink, and just we went to a lot of doctors and,
yeah, but sorry for cutting you off there, Julie. Sorry, I just wanted to sort of see what was going on for Tim at that point.
Of course,
So then you've decided that potentially, or not decided, you've sort of come to a point where it's like, okay, maybe there's something psychological going on. Maybe I need to go.
Yeah, exactly. And I was really open about this. So Tim brought me when he could. I was taking a taxi when I could. It was just very, I had to do something, you know?
Yeah.
But then after 2 years, you know, I mean, it was amazing. I learned a lot about myself, you know, always seeing a shrink. It's like, it's amazing. You always get so many insights about how things, it's like, it's great. You get into those things and it kind of opened windows and you're like, oh my God, I never saw it this way. And, but then 2 years later, I still couldn't walk. So at some point I was like, well, great. I did the work. It helped me on some levels, but obviously it didn't help me with my body symptoms.
Yeah.
So what now? And, you know, we talked together and we're like, okay, let's try to find answers again, you know? And at that time I was, I'd say, I think about like 30% of my capacities.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And so we decided to see a doctor in Belgium who is specialized in chronic fatigue syndrome and Lyme disease.
Uh-huh.
And so we went there, we, you know, took the hotel, stayed like a few days, did all the tests possible that they could take. And then they came back with a Lyme diagnosis pretty much that was kind of a small positive. So they weren't really sure, but then they told me, they said, okay, we're going to give you 18 months treatment from now on. And what happened then is that I went home. I started to take the treatments and my health deteriorated even more to the point that I went from 30% to 1%. And I was dying. So one day, I think I almost fainted in the shower, and I almost hit my head. And most nights, I was on the couch, and Tim had to bring me to just literally carry me to the toilet, carry me to the bedroom. And at some point, he was working full time, and he said, "Julie, I love you, but I can't take care of yourself, of you anymore by myself. It's just too much. You need help." And my dad just retired at that moment. So, you know, you were like, "Yeah, you can go to your dad."
Yeah, yeah.
And in the south of France where I grew up, and I had a really good childhood with good memories. So it was like a safe place for me. So
my dad. How desperate are you guys getting, like, in terms of, no, sorry, that sounded so rude when I said it that way, but like, I can imagine, like, sorry for putting it that way, but like, you know, you've already been on this journey, and like, you know, you're getting treatment, and then like 2 years of seeing somebody still not working. And then, okay, let's go to Belgium to get a treatment. And then they recommend you something. And then that's gone. Like, you know, 30% doesn't sound like a lot, but I imagine, like, you know, you're still holding on at that point, but going down to like 1%, like, you know, I think your emotional reserves, like, sorry to, yeah, like, how's that, doesn't sound like fun.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
No,
it was a difficult period also, because at first, you know, you also from my side, I was like, I will do everything for her to make sure she feels better, she heals, like every doctor we need to go to, every clinic. And at that point, and I will make breakfast, I will make all the juices, like she made so many, she needed so many. So I was like, you know, I'll make it work. But then after that moment when she went to one, it was just super difficult to keep going. And then I think we were both like, okay, it's better if she goes to the south of France with her parents and just be there for a while.
But
and
at some point we also...
How was that? Yeah, please, as you were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. At some point we kind of, we also thought that maybe it was the treatment, you know, that when you have Lyme disease, chronic Lyme disease, you have what you call HERX. And it's kind of a reaction to the treatment where you actually get worse before you get better. And
so
because I was so, exactly. You kind of keep the faith on this and you're like, this is my, that's maybe what's happening. And the thing is, I was so much in survival mode at that moment that you kind of stop your thinking process and you're like, the only thing that matters is making it through the day. And you just kind of, you're kind of very resilient then, because it's survival. So you don't question a lot of things. You're just like, okay, let's just take it day by day. And that's what we did. So, you know, I think it was very hard for you when you saw my dad come. He drove, because it was impossible for me to take the plane. So he drove from the whole south of France to the Netherlands, which is like a 14-hour drive in one time to pick me up. And then, you saw the car just going away. And for you also, that was, he didn't tell me back then. He told me years later that for him, that moment was also difficult.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because it was a moment also to accept that I couldn't do it anymore, you know, that I couldn't take care of Julie at that moment. So that was also like, okay, yeah, this is better for her and also for me to go there. But it was a difficult moment. But it's also crazy, like all these years, the last years, you just keep going, you know, like in a way you sometimes don't even ask yourself the questions. You're just like, you know, this is what it has to be. Like we keep going and I always
make it happen.
Yeah, we make it happen. I always had the feeling like she will get better. And like, I was like, okay, then this is the way for her to,
at that moment,
It's interesting because what I'm hearing in the subtext is you don't really get the opportunity to question things. right? Because you're just kind of going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't want to hijack your story, but one of the things, like my wife recently gave birth, and we learned this thing about the hospital system, about, you know, if you go into the hospital, give birth, it's like you might say yes to a particular type of treatment now, but before you know it, that leads to a whole different idea to how the baby comes out, you know, based on something that you said yes, which was very minor, but like many hours ago. But then that's led down to this cascading path of treatment where your plan might have been somewhere over here, right? And if you had not said yes to that, you still had the opportunity to have a birth in said way. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get the opportunity, like you said, the intensity of the emotions of as you're going, but this is like birth is still labor is some hours, but you know, this is quite an extended period of years that you've been on this path and the intensity of just facing it again and again and again. And then not being able to, I guess, losing the sort of capacity to even question the path that you're on, because you're on this cascade of from this thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing.
It's so close to you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there I was, I went to my parents, and the next 6 months, I would say, were probably the darkest time of my life. I was at 1% and I literally thought I was going to die. I was checking on myself in the morning, not telling my parents to not worry them, but I was checking if I was still breathing in the morning, if my heart was still beating. It was that bad. I couldn't brush my own teeth. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't brush my own hair. I couldn't even shower. My dad had to bring me to the shower once a month because just the fact of showering was just too much effort, too much energy that I did not have. So that period was hard. And then something happened. I called my doctor. It was in January 2018. And I called my doctor, and the conversation lasted 4 minutes. So he heard me and he was like, I will send you a new set of drugs, a new prescription of drugs. And he hung up. And I looked at the phone. I remember this moment like vividly in my mind. I looked at the phone and I saw 4 minutes. And in my mind, I was like, is that all that I get? You know, 4 minutes and a new list of drugs to take. And then in my mind, something just shifted.
Snapped.
I was like, I looked at the phone and I was like, I am done. I am done. I am done looking for answers outside of myself, expecting people to help me when obviously they don't have the answers. So a whole mental shift happened at that moment where I went from being a victim, expecting others to help me, expecting answers outside of myself, to I'm going to take control of my own health into my own hands. Because let's be honest, nobody cares as much as I do about my own health and body. Right? So that was like a whole pivot in my whole story. And the shift that happened, you know, just the thinking of going from this victim mentality to this empowered mentality already started making me heal, because I my cells were listening to another radio tune, you know, it was like, okay, we're just kind of switching directions. And then from that moment, you know, I called team after and I was like, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to find in medical literature, in research paper, in every healing story, everybody that healed from, you know, incurable diseases, we're going to find what they did, what they all had in common so that their body could heal itself. What are the conditions that they all reunited in their lives so that their body could heal? And I'm going to do that. Okay. I'm going to do that like times a thousand, and I'm going to heal. And that's kind of what we started doing. That became the plan.
How was it hearing this, Tim? Like what?
Yeah. To be honest, like at first I was, you know, we're all raised in a society where you believe the doctors when you're young,
mainstream,
a kid.
Yeah.
You're okay. The doctor says to take this prescription, take this treatment. Okay. You believe them because they study for it. They know that at least what you think. And then Julie said, like, yeah, I'm going to do it complete opposite. I'm going to let it all go. And I'm just going to follow my own path. I feel this is the right way to go. And at first I was like, okay, so it was just different than my beliefs. So I was like, okay, yeah, okay, I believe you, but it was also difficult in the beginning to really be 100% behind.
Because she's had that 4 minute shift. She's had that shift where she's like four, like, sorry, pardon my French, but four fucking minutes, like seriously, like years are going through this and you've got 4 minutes and a list of laundry list of drugs, like, get lost. And you haven't had that moment. So this,
So it was like, okay, I believed her. So I was like, okay, if you say this is the best for you now and you think you're going to heal in this way, I'm 100% behind you and we're going to do it like this. And it also opened my eyes, because after I saw her following the treatment and right away making a shift, like she mentioned, I'm feeling so much better, doing the things that
it started building belief in.
Yeah. And you don't learn about those things in school or in your whole life. It's the different kind of view on things, but it really worked. And then I was like, yeah, you see, there's different paths you can follow, and not everything, not one way works for everybody. And that was also
Julie, can you tell me a little bit how important, like, and maybe it wasn't important, in which case this is an awkward question, so pardon me, but how important or how supportive was it to have Tim in your corner the whole way through, like having someone that believes in you? And I ask from a biased place, like I've been on my own journey in the past where I struggled with depression, and there was a moment where someone believed in me, and she's now my wife, touch wood, when I didn't have any belief in myself. There was a moment in my life, 6 months there, where I wasn't too bad, but like, it was like, if I was here, if I wasn't here, it made no difference to me, really, is this the depth of the space I was in. But there was this moment where she believed, and she was like, you know what, like, you know, and from what I'm hearing from your story, like Tim has been there, you know, thick and thin. How much of a difference does that make to someone that's literally in those dire straits, you know, touch and go is how you felt so for so long?
It gives me goosebumps. It was essential. It was everything, you know. He was the rock that just I could lean on. He was just the pillar that he was just keeping me, I don't know, keeping me going. I mean, I'm not going to lie, through all this year, I had suicidal thoughts a lot. I was just like, I just want to jump out the balcony and just be done with this pain. And it's not funny, but I was even like, how on earth am I going to get off the balcony? I can't even do that. So it was like that, you know, mindset that I had, and he was there to, you know, support me and believe in me. And he always told me, you will heal 100%, because that was my mindset. But of course, with the pain and the darkness and all the people
like
around
you said,
me not believing
so close to you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just so hard to always keep that faith. But he did. He always kept that faith. And that was, you know, I think that was, I didn't need a lot of people to believe me. I just needed one, the person that I loved the most, and he did. And that was just essential for my recovery.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Sorry if that was too deep or personal to go
there,
guys.
It's very important.
I wanted to, so from that point, you've had this moment where you've let Tim know, it's like, you know what, I'm in charge, I'm in control. And in fact, being in control is already starting to feel a little bit better. So where to from here? Like, I'm in control, but where do I begin?
So we started, you know, reading a lot about, like, we bought a lot of books, and I mean, Tim helped me a lot because my cognitive abilities, I had, besides my, like, I had also hallucinations and brain fog and dizziness. And so it was also hard for me to, you know, get all this literature in, but he really helped me. And then we started studying all these things. And then we kind of identified common things that all these people that healed from, you know, diverse conditions did. And then we were like, okay, let's just start with one. So we identified sleep. We're like, okay, we know that the body heals the most when, you know, at night. So let's just hack, biohack, and then just master this, your sleeping routine, so that at least that's like done. Yeah. So that's what I did. You know, the temperature of the room, the fact that it's fully dark, no sound, no Wi-Fi, like going to bed at 10 before 12, like all those things. We kind of, you know, nailed it. And then I started doing this for a few weeks.
Okay,
and
so, just a sec. Sorry. Yeah. Let's go there for a sec. So sleep, what's the right temperature for the room?
It needs to be cool.
Ah.
So it's, if you're too warm, actually your body just doesn't, normally your body temperature just cools down a little bit when you go to bed. So the whole temperature of the room needs to be slightly cool, so that it's like the ideal, temperature.
Ambience. Right. Sweet. And so completely pitch black, no lights whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. No lights whatsoever. Actually, they did like a test. I think if there's just one, if you, if you put just a light on the knee of somebody, that was the study that they did, they saw that actually the brainwaves didn't just lower the way they should, and the person didn't create the right hormones to go to bed. So the pitch black was like one of the, you know,
essentials
to getting a restorative sleep.
Going to bed earlier, you know,
going to
bed
early, yeah, before 12.
Yep.
Because that's like in those hours that you're actually logging in the best deep sleep, and that's when you have a lot of muscle recovery at the cellular level. Also avoiding eating too much at dinner, because then you're digesting and then you're not healing. So kind of all those little things, you know, that we
stacking them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So sleep was the number one thing for that you guys went after, because it was just like, this is, and it makes so much sense, right? Because sleep is where the body actually regenerates. Even this was like, I was in and out of the gym for like 9 years. Yeah. And this, I'm embarrassed to admit that it took me about 7 years in that I started realizing this, because anyway, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but nonetheless, it was like, oh, I'm not actually growing in the gym. I'm growing in the bed.
Yes.
The gym is where I'm breaking things down, hoping that they'll grow better when I'm in the bed. It was like, actually, the bed's where you grow, bro. And it's like, it's like that. But like, I know it's like, when I say it now, it's like, oh, that makes so much sense. But like, like that was such an epiphany for me. It was like,
A lot of people miss that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love it. So the sleep is, you had this realization, okay, boom, like the bed is where everything is going to start to regenerate, and I really need to hack my sleep.
Yeah, exactly. So I did. And after 2-3 weeks, we're like, okay, let's move on to the next thing we can do. And we realized that, you know, what happens when you go to bed is that your brain waves slow down, right? Mm-hmm. And then you access alpha, theta state of brain waves, where actually that's when cell regeneration happens. And then we're like, wait, but can we also do that during the day so that you kind of maximize your healing? And that's when meditation comes in, right?
Yeah.
So mental rest. So just kind of stepping outside of screens and all those thousands and thousands of stimulations and dopamine hits that we're getting in the day and kind of, you know, have a lot of mental rest and access the state where the body is in a healing state as much as possible during the day. So I started doing that.
Any particular type of meditation or?
I started with Headspace.
Ah, awesome. The app.
I started with Headspace, and you know, the incredible thing that happened is I didn't know anything about meditation before. I never did it. So I started doing that. And for the first time since I got sick, I like my pain levels in my legs went down from a 10 to a 5.
No,
it was like I had taken morphine or like drugs for pain. It was incredible. And I was like, man, I need to do that all day, every day. And I'm gonna, you know?
Sorry, I'm laughing because I don't know if you guys know, but I'm like, now I'm a purpose coach, but I'm also a meditation teacher. And I've run the risk when I first, because meditation healed me from depression. Like when I share it from stage, I literally say it reconstituted my life. And but I've also been that person that's like, oh, you've got a toe ache. Have you meditated? You know, it's like, oh, you cut yourself. Don't worry about the band-aid. Have you meditated? And I was that person for a while because it was like meditation changed everything. And I'm so happy to hear that like it made such a massive impact on your life that part of me inside is like, see, I told you. It's like, shush. This is different. This is actually, but part of me, I interrupted.
No, it definitely is. It helps massively. Yeah. So that was like another, you know, part of it, the mental rest.
Yeah.
And then
do you think it's just
the
brain waves? Oh, sorry, I'm interrupting you again. But do you think it's just the brain waves, or is it like some of the principles of no longer dissociating with your thoughts and the thoughts being such a massive part of it?
I think the first effect and how it had such a profound effect on my body and on my pain is the brainwave, definitely, because I accessed my parasympathetic nervous system and that was extremely soothing.
Yeah.
But then what it did after was way more profound than this. It taught me also how to, outside of meditation in my daily life, how to just, you know, see experiences and just act in a different way. And the life lessons I got from meditation, we apply it every day in our life now. And it changed my life, and it changed Tim's life after, because he saw me doing all those things. It was like, damn, she's like, she's getting so many benefits from it. I'm going to try to, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you picking up some of this, like, meditation, sleep? How's the journey going at your end, Tim?
Yeah, no, but eventually you see the benefits also. So Julie started and she was like, oh man, I feel amazing now. She just did a meditation and she was like, oh, I feel on top of the world. I have so much energy. And after a while, you start thinking like, okay, let's try it, you know, because there's so many benefits, she said. And then I also started trying it and I fully agree. I was like, okay, wow, it opened your eyes, you know. And after meditations, you really, yeah, I don't know, you see the world very beautiful also always. And then you open your eyes and you're like, okay, wow, you know, you just took a moment for yourself and you appreciate all the little things, you know, you just look outside, you see a bird or something, everything is beautiful. And and I think that's why when I started also to see, and also with the sleep and all the things she did, it was like a whole list, you know, it was like crazy. Everything she said, like, I'm going to do this. And all of the things worked and she felt so much better. And then I just started rolling into it because I saw the benefit.
We started with sleep, Julie, and then we've moved on to meditation.
Mental rest. Yeah.
Love this. Yeah. And then?
Yeah. And then we were like, okay, how can I, you know, lower my inflammation levels? That was one of the big things, because knowing my diagnosis, of course, I was, you know, I went after inflammation. And I was like, okay, there's two ways to do this. Pretty much it's through healthy food. Mm-hmm. So eating a lot of, you know, vibrant, colorful, whole non-processed food, organic. So I went through, you know, I ate a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables. I kind of flooded my cells and my body with nutrients.
Yeah. So what is the key? What is the key to inflammation there? Is it like, because from what I, and this is my very limited understanding in it, like I try and bring things back to the basics, but for me, it's like food is generally designed to support us. So it shouldn't be inflammatory. Mm-hmm. But when we're processing, pardon my French again, the shit out of it, mm-hmm. then potentially it's no longer resembles what food is. And then now it's mm-hmm. starting to become something that is causing inflammation because my body's not seeing it as something that is nourishing rather mm-hmm. than something it just wants to eliminate because it's like, and then because of the elimination process, it's causing inflammation. Am I oversimplifying it? Like, what's your perspective on it?
Well, I think inflammation I think a lot of our body processes are actually wonders of nature and we should be thankful for them instead of fearing them. And inflammation is a beautiful thing. It's pretty much like your body saying, okay, there's something that's, you know, there's either a trauma or something that's not right in the body. So I'm going to send like all the police in the body, you know, like all the things that are going to heal it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The troopers. And then that's why it's red and that's why it's swollen, because there's a lot of circulation around there. There's a lot of, you know, kind of the troopers are there to make it, to heal it. And that's in itself a very beautiful thing. So this can happen because of trauma. I mean, you sprain your ankle or something, this happens. You have a chronic illness, or you're eating processed food that is not really made for you and made to nourish your cells. Mm. Or you can also be exposed to a modern world where you have a lot of things that contribute to inflammation because we're kind of disconnected a little bit from nature and a more natural lifestyle. So all those things actually can lead to chronic inflammation. Yeah. And the way I see it, the food is just kind of your cells are craving natural foods because it's just the way we are designed. Yeah. So by giving them this natural food, then you don't help necessarily the process of inflammation, by the way, but you kind of nourish your cells in a way that they can become optimal again and do their job in the best way. Mm. And I mean, you have a lot of food that are designed specifically for anti-inflammatory purposes. You have turmeric, you have broccoli, like all those things. But I think it was for inflammation, but it was also for myself to just think, okay, all the nutrients and the vitamins and all those things that my body need, I'm going to flood it with it. I'm going to do like, it's almost like an IV of nutrition, but through the food, through juices, through smoothies, through like all of these things. And then I will see what happens with my body. Uh-huh. And another way of targeting inflammation was also grounding. So that was the next step also that I did. It was nature. So, you know, we did a lot of studies on this, and actually grounding is the most underrated and underused healing modality that we all have access to, that is absolutely free wherever you are in the world.
That's why it's not marketable though. That's why it's not
exactly. There's no money in that.
No one can market this.
There's no money in that. Exactly.
How long are we spending grounding? Like feet, bare feet in the earth is the prescription.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. So it's pretty much just any of your skin. It can be your hands, it can be anything that is touching the earth's natural surface, that is, you know, supplied with, you know, negative ions, an infinite supply. So it's always there. Anything, you know, all those negative ions that can enter your body and actually counteract the positive ions that we accumulate with technology every single day. And it's actually quite interesting because when you ask somebody, how long has it been that they, you know, touched the earth's natural surface? Sometimes somebody will tell you 7 days or 8 days.
Yeah.
And that's just like, you know, really, really bad. And the earth has a frequency, it's called the Schumann resonance, of 7.83 hertz, I think. Yeah. Yeah. And that resonance is also our resonance, where, you know, our cells are in complete coherence. Mm-hmm. And when you connect with the earth, not only do you, you know, upload negative ions, but you also connect to that resonance.
Yeah.
That, you know, balances you.
And it recalibrates you back to homeostasis.
Exactly.
To the balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the frequency of electronics, computers, Wi-Fi, radio signals, all these things is, I don't have the exact number, but it's way, way more than this.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, which is again comes back to the no Wi-Fi in the bed as well, right? Like, so
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can I ask, for those tuning in as the audience, like the minimum effective dose that you would prescribe to those that are, you know, with the Involve app, like for those that are tuning in, like what would you say, like 15 to 20 minutes of grounding a day, sort of? Or
Yeah, I think that's what they say, like usually 20 minutes is a good amount
to get started. Yeah,
but cool. Even 5 minutes is good. You know what I mean? It's like, even if you can't do it 20 minutes, at least, like, even if you do it 1 minute, it's good.
Yeah. Just to get out. Yeah. This is something that I've started noticing. Like when I take the dog out, like I literally just take the shoes off and I'll just walk around the park barefoot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's that little bit. And just, I think the intentionality has a lot to do with it as well. You know, just having the intention to sort of just connect to the earth and just, you know, even though it's freezing, it's like, yeah, but this is good for me. You know, it's like,
exactly.
To the earth. Yeah, thank you. I love that.
Yeah, and you actually see that they all, like all those aspects and all those things that we started doing, it actually has an impact on, they have an impact, they're connected, they have an impact on themselves. So if you start grounding, you actually start sleeping better, you know? And if you start sleeping better, then you heal more and you're happier and you're going to do your meditation easier. And like it kind of, you know, has a positive
ripple
effect.
The ripple effect on each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So now we're doing the compound interest of healing. I love this.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's, wow. Okay. So I love this. I really love this, because also tuning into the way you've described it. And again, thank you so much. And, you know, it's hard to sort of say it this way because it almost is making it too succinct. But one of the things I've often found on the Inspired Evolution is when I'm having these interviews, it's often people have gone through like these epic challenges and then they've come back with like these pearls of nuggets and they're like, and that's their biggest gift to humanity, you know? And it's like, and it's amazing to sort of just go, oh, you know, it's, and I, in this space, like what you're sharing is not necessarily difficult. Like it's simple. Yeah. It's not easy, but it's simple.
It
yeah. It's really basics and it's simple. And it's like the importance of tuning into your story and your journey and how possible it is. So feeling into, you know, all these things are now correlating to each other. How are we relative to our 1% now? What's going on your journey? How are we feeling?
To be honest, it took time. It took a lot of patience and it was kind of micro changes in my body. So I remember one time I called Tim and I said, well, I took a shower today. And when I reached for the shampoo bottle, I had the feeling that reach was a little bit less painful than before. You know, it was like those tiny microscopic changes. It wasn't like, okay, one day I walked out of my wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know? So it was very, very, But Tim was always, you were my biggest trooper, like super, super encouraging and being like, you need to keep going, it's working, you're going to be healed. And so then we started moving on to the other modalities, and you know, there was sunlight, natural light, there was movement and gratitude, and then we had like a whole package of things that I was like, okay, I think we cracked it. I think like that's like the kind of secret formula for health. And he was really, the biggest supporter on that. And that was amazing.
And I think also from that moment onwards, you only went better.
Yeah.
It was like before, it was always like ups and downs. And then it just went, of course, some small downs, but it really went up, up, up. And there was no big downfall anymore.
No.
So then we started to realize like, okay, I think we found it.
No. We found the potential kick for upwards momentum here. And so, and how are you feeling at this point, Tim, when you start to realize, actually, we might be onto something, like I might actually get it back.
I felt really good because you start to appreciate all the little things, you know, because you go back to a moment where you can almost do nothing as a, let's say normal, what is normal, but a normal couple of like 25 years old, you know, there are a lot of people always said like, but you should be doing this or this. And then I'm like, but that's not
your
what
reality.
It is at the moment, you know, at the moment it's just, we appreciate all the little things. If Julie can go there already, do a small walk and we're together, that's it. And that's enough. And once she started to improve and we got rid of the wheelchair, so I didn't have to push her anymore. And I remember that was such a weird moment because I was like, wow, you're walking next to me now. Like I'm not pushing you anymore. You're walking next to me as my girlfriend. And like the whole change happened and we're like, okay, wow, we're getting rid of this thing and we're gonna enjoy our life to the fullest. And that's why what we're doing now also, you know, we're traveling, we're swimming together again, we're going on small walks. It's just like, oh man, we made it, you know. We're like, yes.
Oh wow.
So it feels good.
Pick it up on that. I love that. And so, okay, so you've cracked it, you found the formula, and you're going on this journey, and bit by bit, like you said, it's micro movements, but like, you know, I can reach for the shower bottle to the point eventually it's like, you know what, I'm out of this wheelchair.
Exactly. And I think there's a quote that says like, it's not your speed that matters, it's the direction. And I think that's really what we kind of
as a mindset
stood by. Yeah, as exactly. Because I was going as fast as a snail. I was going so slow, but I was going in the right direction. It just piles up, you know, day after day. I think what Tim said also with his experience, it made me a little bit emotional because for him, like also seeing me, you know, not pushing me, because he had a status of, it wasn't a boyfriend for years, he was a caretaker.
A carer.
Literally.
Yep.
Exactly. And when he saw me walking next to him, he looked at me like, oh my God, like I didn't even know that this would be possible again, although he always, you know, cheered me up and
hoped
everything.
Hoped for it and prayed for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Had the faith for it.
Yeah. So our we had to let go also of that Sikh identity together and become a couple again. That was also not easy. And I think also what he said about expectations, you know, that was a big thing for us, because at the beginning we were always expecting, you know, things to happen a certain way. And every time we were disappointed. So the disappointment was always so high because we're like, we should be able to do those things. We should. But the moment we started letting go of expectations of what things should be, and we started to embrace what the present moment had to offer in all its simplicity. We're like, well, that's just the way things are. Then we made our relationship so much more easier. And we see that actually around us, the people that didn't do that and still held on to expectations, it was hard for them.
It's a bit corrosive, isn't it? Your expectations.
Yeah.
It's
So that was a big thing also in our journey. And I think we're still applying this knowledge today. Of expectations, you know, we always, I mean, everybody has expectations, but it just ruins your happiness.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoy what is, what, like the things that are in their simplicity.
Yeah. This is not going to be an example you guys approve of, but pardon me, it's an example that I use a lot in my coaching. it's, if I was to sort of say, and maybe I'll come up with a healthier example. I'll do a healthier example. In my one-on-one coaching, I use the example of when it comes to expectations of like Mars bar and curly whirly, but I won't go there. So in this example, I'll say, let's say if I'm about to go to the shops and I'm like, hey, Julie, Tim, about to go to the shops. I'm going to go get, you know, cacao smoothie. I'll see you guys soon. And then I come home and then you guys like, where's the cacao smoothie? And I'm like, oh, they didn't have cacao smoothie today. They weren't making it. But here's coconut water. And you're like, okay, cool. You guys are nice guys, right? So you'd be like, oh, yeah, cool. Okay, we got coconut water. But some part of you is like, where the fuck's my cacao smoothie? Right? Like some part of you is like, what the fuck? And so, but if I didn't say anything to you and I was just like, I just went to the shops. And I went and got, and I was like, oh, no cacao smoothie. And I was like, I'll get coconut water set. And I come home and I'm like, hey guys, coconut water. You guys are like, ah, coconut water.
Super happy.
Right? And it's just that little bit of psychology where you're just like, had I not said anything about cacao smoothie, coconut water would not have been so bad, you know?
It's very interesting.
The expectations piece, and you can never go beyond, like I've never gone, oh yes, I've not like exceeded my expectations. Like it's always been like, they're never quite met. And that's exactly when I really started realizing that just we've got to start to surrender this expectation piece, because you never really go above it. Yeah. And if you have, maybe you can count that on less than one hand, the number of times things have exceeded your expectations. Right. And so it's like, but most of the time you're holding these expectations and you never meet them. And yet it's causing so much dissatisfaction in our lives. Yeah. Sorry.
Very good example.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get where you're staring. So, okay, so gratitude's in, sunlight's in, a whole bunch of nature's in. We're meditating, we're resting well, we're making sure we're sleeping. We're on the positive, upwards and upwards. We're hopping out of wheelchairs now, for Christ's sake. So at some point, Tim comes up with an algorithm. Like, what is going on? Like, what's – tell me about this moment where it's like, okay, we're doing this well enough to potentially support others on this path. Like, tell me what – I want the whole story.
Yeah, we were in Switzerland at the moment, and Julie was. We always wanted to start a company together. We were always looking for ideas, and we wanted first to make sauces, like healthy sauces. But then we moved on to another idea, and then we were in Switzerland, and we always had the idea of sharing the journey, but also the knowledge that we gathered with the rest of the people, but we didn't know how exactly. Yeah. Julie had already a platform, like her website, where she shared a lot of knowledge, and her Instagram, but we never found a way to bring it out there even bigger. Mm. And then one day I came home, and then Julie was like, I found it. Like, why don't we share the everything I know in an app? You know, everything, how I healed, like the whole kind of modalities, all the nourishments, we put it in an app, and then people can keep track of it. So that people that are in the same situation as me, recovering from a chronic illness, or just, feeling bad or want to improve something. And then I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's it. I was like, this is it. And I was like, I'm in 100%. Like, okay, what are we going to do? So we took a pen and paper, and we're like, okay, they need to have a score. Then if they track, we give them like a recharge score. And then we started thinking, okay, how much is sunlight important? How much is healthy food important? Based on all the articles we read and the books and the knowledge we had, like, does it make sense? So we wrote an algorithm down and thought of all the scoring. And then we asked our friends, okay, guys, you're our test group. So you're going to, on those nourishments, you're going to text us every day. You're going to text us the score you did. Mm. And then we're going to calculate your score. And then you tell us if it makes sense. So we started like this, and they were like, yeah, no, it makes sense. No, really. Yeah, whoa, it's exactly how I feel. So cool. And they were really into it. They started texting us every day in the morning, like, hey, Tim, Julie, here is a score. And we're like calculating on a piece of paper. So it was super cool. And then from there, it started to grow, you know. And then we were like, okay, let's find a developer and let's start to develop it. You know? So it was
super organic and yet super hearty and super wholesome. I love it. Yeah. And so where did the name Envol come from?
We actually struggled to find a name for like a month, because there's a lot of competition already, you know, in the health world with apps and all these things. And every time it was taken or it meant something else. And it was actually, there was a book that I was reading since I was a, like in my childhood, one of the best book, fiction book in French that I've ever read. And it was one of the chapters name, you know, and it was about expansion. Yeah. And in French, it means a bird taking off.
That's romantic. I like that. That's cool.
So it literally just means expansion and just flying to, you know, the life that you deserve, you know. So we thought it was a great name, and it was the French name to my roots also. So we went just for this one, and then yeah, we loved it ever since. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And what is your hope and your aspirations for the app now? And yeah. Obviously, maybe before I should ask where how you're feeling now, just to sort of complete the story. But then what is also your hopes for the app and yeah, everybody that's connecting to that and everybody else's healing journey as well as yours?
I think to share it with as much people as we can. You know, it's such a great tool, and we do it from always to help other people. We're like, this concept, it's so simple, so accessible, and everybody should have access to it. Everybody should know it. So we're like, let's share it with as much people as we can, and just grow it so big. And
we said actually since day one, we said we don't really, you know, care about if it's like success. I mean, obviously we care, but like success or money or whatever. We our sole objective, if we can help one person, then we're happy we did it.
Yeah,
that's basically just our mindset. It's just like we make this to help people. And sometimes we have people telling us, because there's a premium version to the app, like, yeah, I have a low income, and we're like, yeah, of course, then you can get it. You know, it's just like we do this to help, obviously. And we're getting so much feedback from people that it did help and that said that it changed their life.
And so then now it's snowballing, and you want to just try and help as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And the gratitude you feel when this happens is just like, kind of, you think like, okay, it was all worth it, you know?
Wow. To hear you say that.
Yeah.
Julie, after all of that, really, it was all worth it? Like, how are you feeling these days?
So actually, it's funny, because it's when I stopped looking for a diagnosis that I actually found it and actually know the real reason of why I went through this. Mm-hmm. And it was, I contacted a naturopath, a French naturopath that was specialized in Lyme disease. And that was in October last year. So it was really recently.
Recent.
Yeah. And I was like, I didn't know if I had to, you know, continue with the Lyme thing or, you know, I was at, I don't know, 70%, I think, in last October. So I was like, how do I get to 100, you know? Do I need to do like another aggressive treatment with herbs or, you know, something? And I contacted this guy, and he, after an hour, he was like, Julie, you don't have Lyme. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I didn't do 6 years to just be told this now. Mm-hmm. And actually, he said, what you have, all the symptoms that you have are the side effects of an antibiotic that you took before you got paralyzed. And I almost fell off my chair when he told me this. And he asked me the name of the antibiotic. And I was like, well, I don't know. Who knows the name of the antibiotics they take? You know, it's always like crazy names and you don't remember.
Yeah.
So I told this to Tim, and he was like, what, really? That could be the reason. And there's actually one antibiotic. It's a family of antibiotics called fluoroquinolones. Mm. And I'm saying this because I'm really trying to raise awareness on how dangerous this family of antibiotics are. They should be taken away from the market, taken off the market. They have an FDA warning that says that how dangerous they are and that doctors shouldn't prescribe them for minor infections. Mm-hmm. And I just realized everything just clicked, that every time when I was 18, when I was 22, and when I was 25, the common denominator in all this, the common thing that happened is that 2 weeks before I had the symptoms, I had a UDI. So it's just a simple urinary infection. And I was prescribed Cipro. It's a fluoroquinolone antibiotic. So it damaged my cells. It damaged my mitochondria. It damaged my nervous system. And that is the reason why I was in the wheelchair for 4 years. Because I took an antibiotic. So, you know, it was like when we realized it, I think we hugged each other. We cried so much because it was like, oh my goodness, that's it. That's why. And also, for myself, I kind of hugged myself and I was like, I'm sorry, I doubted you. You are not crazy.
Wow. Okay. Wait a sec. No? Say that bit again, because your relationship with yourself.
You know, I mean, I always thought I was the problem, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not. It happened to me, and it's not my fault, and it's not my identity. It's just something that happened to me in the past.
And how healing was that for your relationship with your own body?
It was the last piece we needed. It was liberating. It was. I had the certainty that I was not going to get sick again because I will never take that thing again. You know, so that was everything. It was like the last missing piece of the puzzle we needed to just make it into a full recovery.
Wow.
You know.
Incredible. And I think the message that I'm hearing once again is that ultimately our body has the resources to like thrive, but even like if we throw something at it to heal through that and then bring us back through and thrive, like it's such an amazing organism. Absolutely. This vehicle that we're given. And I love all the things that you've shared, like the sleep fundamental, right? It's like all coming back to the basics, right? And it's almost like if we just get out of our own way with, you know, the comforts and the creations of, like, you know, society the way that it is at the moment. And there's a lot of good stuff in society, but, you know, this convenience and comfort that we consistently strive after, you know, like something as simple as just taking an over the prescription, over the counter, you know, sort of antibiotic, which can be prescribed to us. Then, you know, we sort of end up in our own way and this, oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, yeah, the body's amazing and its ability to heal, as long as we can just support it on that journey.
Exactly. And I think also this whole experience, you know, I mean, if you look at it, it should have taken 5 minutes to figure out what was wrong with me. 5 minutes. You know, I come to the hospital. It's like, what did you take 2 weeks ago?
If only it took four minutes. Fuck.
You know,
Sorry, that was really rude. That was really rude. But that was not in the joke in my head. Sorry. I should not have a podcast. Like, do not put a mic in front of me. But you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Yeah, sorry, please.
Yeah, it literally is. And, you know, they should have asked me, what did you take last month? Open the insert of Cipro, see that in black and bold, it says that right it damages there. The nervous system, hallucinations, can't walk, and then kind of give me an insert. But it took, since I was 18, they have no idea, you know?
But what would have prompted you to think that? That's the thing, right? Like, at no point would there have been a prompt for you to go, oh yeah, let me just check like all the past medications I've taken.
Everybody should be doing? It's just like,
yeah,
it's a very big, you know, question mark for us. But then it didn't, and why?
It didn't.
Why? You know, it led us to this. We would have never made this otherwise. We would have never kind of been confronted to like this survival mode in which you don't have any other choice than making it till the next day and finding the tools that you need and, you know, looking inside, because obviously outside didn't have any answers for me. We knocked on the doors of more than 100 doctors. They didn't know. So the answers were inside. And I think that was maybe the universe kind of telling me, it's inside of you, girl. You have to just look for it, and you have to awaken that power.
I love that. So Tim, Julie, before I let you guys go, is that like, how do you guys reflect on the journey now? Thank you so much for sharing so abundantly and openly, you know, exactly what's happened and the insights from there, I think is super useful, like all the key ingredients. And for those that are tuning in, obviously the Envol app, totally available for you. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. You guys can go check it out, please. But, you know, it's almost loaded for me to ask you this, but I think you're alluding to it just then as well, like spiritually, like your paths, you know, like, do you stop and go, okay, this was meant to be part of it so that I could have come home to, you know, these practices that are now such an ingrained part of your life, like, you know, the gratitude, the meditation, the relationship that you have with nature and sunlight and the healing power of our bodies. Was it always meant to be that way in some way, or am I sort of reaching too far to say something like that? How are you feeling about your journey spiritually at this point?
I opened my eyes a lot, and that is something that I realized that there, like I already mentioned a few times, that there are other ways, and also so much that we didn't know before, you know, like the also the power of meditation, all those simple habits, that sometimes the body can heal itself. Those are things I never knew could happen. And then I saw it with Judy. So for me, it's really, I gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of, different ways of looking at the world. And
it's a bit like an awakening.
Yeah, awakening. Like, yeah. Okay. So, okay. It's,
Yeah, it opened like windows when there were any walls, and we're very much more open-minded to a lot of things that are possible. And I mean, Tim didn't say, but like in the last 6 months, he bought a million books, and he's every day into quantum physics and all those things that I don't even can understand. And he's like, you developed a passion for those things. And he actually tells me things now of like, hey, did you know this? And I'm like, so we go even deeper in our understanding of it. And the more we study those things, the more I honestly can say that we actually sold our apartments in Holland. We put all the money in the app and we decided to travel the world. And that's mm-hmm. what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. And we wake up every morning and we pinch ourselves because we're like, man, we're the happiest we've ever been in our mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tim wasn't made to have a 9-to-5 job either. He did like 6 jobs in 5 years, couldn't find the right boss, couldn't find the right passion. And mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen him transform into somebody that is extremely passionate about what he's doing every day, who actually tells me, "Ooh, I want to go to bed so that we can get up and work tomorrow." He's like super excited about this now.
Inspired evolution.
Yeah, I mean, it is. We kind of created a life that if this didn't happen, we wouldn't be here today. We would still have the comfort of our old life and the fear of like, well, our life is good, but what if it could get better? You know, what like, good is good, but great is better, right? And because this happened, we didn't have a choice. And now we're living a life that, I mean, yeah, we're, we feel so lucky.
I think also especially that we chose this life now a little bit, you know, you choose how to see life also. And because of what we went through, and also, yeah, both of us, we see it so positive now. We're like, you know, life is beautiful. Let's make the best out of it. What makes us happy? And that was to work on the app, travel. And then we're like, let's do it. We're the one that decide, you know, so we're going to go for it. And I think, yeah, see now, yeah.
We're literally the creator of our destiny. Yeah. It literally, we create our life every single day with every choice that we make. And you know, it's exhilarating. It's almost like, man, this can't get better. You know, it's out of something so dark in something so positive. And it's hard to believe, yeah, how lucky we are sometimes.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, thank you so much for sharing yourself so abundantly here with us today. I know that I get to say thank you for today's conversation, but we all know that it's a lifetime's worth of work and, you know, all the man, like I'm just, you know, obviously being a boy or a man, I'm thinking about, you know, all the sleep that Tim must have lost throughout your journey as well, let alone thinking about how much you've been through, Julie. It's a lifetime's work that you've put into us being able to have this conversation. You know, the takeaways are so palpable, so effective. Thank you so much for sharing that. On behalf of myself, the Inspired Evolution Tribe, we're wishing you the best going forward as well. Thank you so much for doing this with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Emre.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning into this amazing episode of The Inspired Evolution. Without you, The Inspired Evolution Tribe, this podcast would not be what it is today. Thank you so much for your love and your support. Thank you so much for being so inspired to evolve. It's truly inspiring. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to The Inspired Evolution on YouTube, the home of The Inspired Evolution's video podcast. We release inspiring conversations such as this every week, along with guided meditations and empowering insights all designed to help you grow and evolve. Honestly, your subscription on YouTube to the channel helps us out a great deal. And one of the other benefits, if you're having any insights or shifts from these episodes that you want to chat about, or if you'd like to leave myself or the guest a message, please do so in the comments on YouTube. I truly look forward to hearing from you. And as always, Tribe, remember to stay inspired and keep evolving.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.